Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And wherever I would go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
Jordan,
he's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close.
Shane Lowry is the Open champion.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Fairway Finders. This is episode number 17, and we have a full crew today. Thankfully, Donica has recovered and he's back with us this week. How are we, Donica? Well, semi-recovered.
Fucking semi-recovered. Yeah, how are you, lads? What's the story? It's good to be back. So I missed a week, was a bit run down. I needed to recharge the batteries. And obviously, being the European side of the pond, you record a lot later. And I just was fucking... Do you know what? I listened to Ian Ford last week. And what a shout out to Ian Ford, because he sounded like an absolute gent.
Absolute hero.
And I'm disgusted now, in retrospect, that I wasn't on the pod. But it was one of those where... I felt like I wasn't going to bring enough, like, any energy to the conversation because I was blowing out my arse last week. Yeah, it was a great pod. His stories about Tiger and everything, and just hearing about how, like, he scaled the tours in such close proximity to Finau, it just goes to show, like, that, like, how many unbelievably talented and great golfers there are at all levels, and it doesn't take... Like the margins are very small, whether it's just getting a break, making a putt on a weekend to get yourself into a tournament and going well. So yeah, it was just a really fascinating conversation, and it was great to listen to it just as a fan of the podcast instead of one of the hosts, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a fun convo, and big shout out to Ian again. I'm sure we'll get him on again down the line. But yeah, even me and Steve's faces when he was talking through the Tiger stories. I think we're gonna have to start putting up an all YouTube podcast something, just because that was priceless. But yeah, and you know, I suppose at the end of it, Sanjay came down with the old win.
He did.
You know,
on the tear in Vegas as we speak.
I was gonna say, I think we were jokingly saying he's going to miss the cut on purpose to hit up Vegas, but it looks like he hit it up after the tournament instead.
Yeah,
he'll do it this week. So they're only moving 8 miles away from where the Summer Club this week is. 8 miles away from TPC Summerlin, isn't it? Eight or 10 miles, something like that. Bryson has probably hit two drives, get two blows, and he'd nearly get home.
Yeah, I'm worried about Dustin Johnson this week. I'm not backing him this week just because the Vegas factor. I don't trust him to go 4 days down there without misbehaving. So he's staying off.
I think there's a lot of fucking messing going on in that tour now. Between now and when we get towards like next March, I'd say there'd be a lot of lads who are just swinging hard and living large and enjoying themselves because all the big prizes are decided for the year now. Yeah. But there are always prizes up for us because we are going to pick a winner this week. And we got really, really fucking close last week. So we'll be honest. Yeah, we had a bit of a stinker over in the States. It was actually the first time in the history of the pod that all three of us plumbed for the same guy. On paper, it looked like Abe Anser was just made for that course. In reality, it didn't go so well for us. He missed the cut, and he missed the cut by... several shots, I think. So unlucky Abe, unlucky to us. But over in Europe, Adri Arnaus, who obviously Spaniard playing in Spain and had contended at that golf course last year, tied fourth. He got into a playoff with Rafa Cabrera Bello. And while I watched the last seven holes of the Sunday, and I was disgusted for the pod and for my own bets that Arnaus couldn't win, very happy for Rafa because he'd missed 10 cuts in his previous 20, and the guy's way too good a golfer to be at that crack. And you could tell that it meant a huge amount to him to win his home open, as of course it would. He shot sort of scenes with Lowry, or you know, Harrington won the Irish in the past, or McIlroy. So yeah, good on Rafa, fair play. We'll take the playoff place. So he was only 35-1. So I just about covered my bets last week. But I reckon this week, I feel quite confident. I feel abnormally confident.
Nice. So, you know, before we, it's well, yeah, how many picks do you have for this week then each, lads? I know I have 5-3 for the cup anyway.
Yeah, I have one in the CJ Cup. I have one for Europe, and I have one on the Challenge Tour this week as well. So three total for me.
Nice, interesting.
Oh, Steve's getting eclectic. I like a Challenge Tour.
I like it.
Oh, I know what he's doing.
You know what?
I know what he's doing. I had 7 picks, and now I have 8 picks.
There you go. We're all getting on the same train, I think.
Yeah. So I've 7 picks. I've got 4 over in the States, 2 of which I'm absolutely mad about, and then I've got 3 in Valderrama, which is just a beast of a course, and it's going to be a proper test. So John Catlin won there last year at 2 over, which is just class. Yeah, I love that kind of golf. That kind of like watching pros suffer around the track like that. Like Richard Bland had a great tweet up during the week of, you know, in Airplane, the pilot, when he's sweating and he just looks like he's under the water, and he's like, oh yeah. So Blandy's like, oh yeah, Valderrama next week. Great.
But like the weird thing though is the year before that, then Christian Bezaden, who's won with 10
over. Yeah.
And I was like, did they make it fucking way harder the following year? Or was it like raining or like?
Probably.
Genuinely not sure.
Rain, yeah, okay, yeah, because I'm looking at the scores and they were just so sporadically different year over year. So I was like, Jesus, did they make the course way different, or is this the weather just totally different year over year, or what? Like,
yeah, it must have been the rain. So what Valderrama is famous for, well, it's famous for loads of things, but is really, really narrow corridors to hit drives into. You got to be really confident in your lines off tee boxes, because they've got these cork trees that obviously are bleached and they're really pronounced just visually, and then the greens are tiny and they have many humps and hollows and undulate, and they're always lightning fast. So I can only guess that they must have soft greens.
Really quickly before we go into this week's stuff, I saw a stat there earlier about Sun JM, which I actually thought was very interesting. Since 2018, he has made 1,413 birdies, which is nearly 300 birdies more than anyone else on tour.
There you go.
He's a legend.
He's a talent,
but to be fair, he also plays legitimately every single week. Like, that man never takes time off, ever. But I mean, that's still insane. Like, 300 birdies more than anyone else on tour. That's incredible.
I could be entirely wrong, and if I am, feel free to come in, like, tweet us and correct me, but I think for a couple of years, Sunjay didn't have a home. Sunjay lived in a suitcase and lived hotel to hotel in the PGA Tour as a, you know, 23, 24-year-old living the dream. And I think he's just after buying a house in Atlanta, like relatively recently. So he used to just cruise around following the tour week to week. And yeah, absolutely prolific. And it's great to see a guy that committed to his game and committed to the PGA Tour, because now, I don't know if you saw during the week, there's more announcements, you know, all this player impact program, social media bullshit, that Tiger's going to win, apparently, and he hasn't even hit a shot in a year. Tiger's going to win like the first prize of the most impactful, golfer on social media, and it's Tiger. Well, obviously it's Tiger. So yeah, he's going to get like $8 million for being himself, which I'm totally okay with, because we love Tiger. They're now going to offer... Are they offering like a 50 grand bonus to every player who plays 15 tour events in the season?
Yep.
Like literally they're like in some instances. Now, thankfully this week isn't one of them, because 8 of the top 10 are playing the CJ Cup this week. And I think the only guy in the top 10 who's not actually playing this week is Patrick Cantlay, because he's just won $15 million and he doesn't give a shit. Fair enough. Yes, they're giving a 50 grand bonus if you play 15 events. So just show up, 50 grand.
Yep, that works for me.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, we love Sunjay. Another stat about Sunjay is he won his first PGA Tour title on his 50th start, and he's won his second PGA Tour title on his 100th start.
So we'll get him 150, whatever that is.
Yeah,
we're all backing him.
Probably in a few weeks' time, knowing him, the way he fucking plays.
January time, yeah.
Yeah, in 50 weeks, it'll be his 50th. Yeah, good on Sanjay, good on Rafa. Do you want to crack into this week?
I just final note on last weekend. Anyone who fell trapped by backing Ram at fucking 10-3, you're an idiot. I just want
to
leave
even
it on
less
that.
Even less than 10-3. He was 5-2 and when I looked at him before.
It was Thursday morning. He's 6-under through 8 holes. He was 4-5. It was Thursday morning. He was odds on. I love that.
But would you bet against him on whenever it was, Thursday?
No, absolutely. You thought he would have absolutely dominated, yeah. Fair.
He was back. I'm telling you, he's not a closer, boys. There's something wrong with his closing ability. Like, he got lucky at the US Open.
Would anybody like to audition to replace Steve?
Just get some tumbleweed rolling.
We'll see who's a closer when it comes to majors next season, right?
Ryder Cup singles as well, didn't he?
Soundbite me. You can soundbite me on John Rahm. John Rahm wins one of the majors next year. Soundbite me. Save this. Mark it. But it is going to happen.
I think so too. And hopefully for my bet of him winning 3 before 2025, hopefully that comes through as well, you know. So
I don't think he'll win one major next season. But
woo! All right. Well, we'll get into that next year.
Okay. Let's park that. More important things to talk about, like the Andalusia Masters at the Valderrama course, Donny.
Are we going to start in Europe, are we?
Yeah, sure. Let's start in the...
Why not?
Yeah, let's do it. So this week is at one of the most legendary golf courses in Europe and probably the world, which is Valderrama, which is the most used golf course in Spain for European Tour, which is very unsurprising. So it used to be the venue of the Volvo Masters that became the Andalusian Masters in more recent times. So Valderrama just... As a golf course, this thing is just terrifying. The tee shots are so demanding. You have 20 yards of fairway to aim at. You've got these huge, beautiful cork trees that line fairways. So guys, you'll see guys hitting low hooks to get it, you know, when they're out of position and big cuts. And you'll see some real fun golf shots this week when guys get out of position. But in terms of an identikit winner, guys who've won this in the past, Ian Poulter, Paul McGinley, Søren Kjelstrup, three lads who would be anything but a bomber. So this is length, distance off tee is pretty much irrelevant this week. It's totally changed. It's totally brought back by the fact that you just have to hit the fairways. And in the greens, as we sort of already touched on, the greens in some places are like crazy golf and they're like postage stamps. So the lowest score since it's been the Andalusia Masters, Zaydenhout had the lowest score. Other than that, it's 12-under. And Catlin won it last year, a 2-over par. So it's basically a major in terms of how demanding this golf course is. Last word on Valderrama itself, hosted the 97 Ryder Cup as well. So it's just a legendary spot. We all have picks, don't we? I've got three.
I have one for Europe.
Nice.
I've won.
Lovely, right? Well, I'm feeling a bit confident after Adrian Yarnow's performing well last week. So I got three. My top pick is the bigger price. So I'll start with Aaron Rye. I'm a big fan of Aaron Rye. English guy has won, I think, 4 times on the European Tour and most recently won the Scottish Open last year. So he's got his PGA Tour card this season, but he's just gone. He missed the cut at the fortnight. He missed the cut... at the opener as well. So he didn't perform well over in the States. I'm going to forgive him that. In terms of his style as a golfer, really accurate off the tee. So he's 22nd driving accuracy on the European Tour last season, 18th in greens regulation. And then when he does get out of position, he's 8th in scrambling in the European Tour too. His last European Tour appearance was tied 14th at the BMW, which is pretty good. And then he's played at Valderrama once and he finished 8th. So I really like him this week. I think he's going to have a great chance. The only problem is he's not a very good putter and these greens are very demanding. So it could be one of these tear your hair out in terms of him having a lot of chances and not closing it out. But 40-1, I think is actually too big a price too. So Aaron Rye is my top pick at 40-1. I'm also taking a Spaniard because you kind of have to, Valderrama, but I'm taking Adrian Otegi. He's 40-1 as well. He's another guy who's just really accurate off the tee. So he's 20th in driving accuracy, top 30 in scrambling. And he's played here 4 or 5 times, but in recent seasons, he's been 12th and 17th. And then he was tied 17th last week. So he's in decent form too. Really like him at 40-1. He's my pick of the Spaniards. And then finally, it's too short a price, but I still really like him, is Thomas Peters. So that's one of your favorites as well, Brew. I know you back Thomas Peters the odd time as well. But a lot of people think he's just a bomber because he hits it a mile, but he's also actually very accurate off the tee too. So he's 22nd in driving accuracy last season. And then this season, he's 3rd in strokes gained, tee to green, 14th in scrambling. He's had 2 top 10s in his last 3 starts. He's only weirdly played in Valderrama once before, which is bananas. He was tied 26th, which is pretty decent. And he's only won once since 2016, which is a bit of a scandal for the caliber of golfer he is. But they're my three. So Aaron Wright, 40-1. Adrian Otegi, 40-1. And Thomas Peters, I'm just going to do Thomas Peters on a win at 25s. Are my three.
Yeah, I like him. I like him.
I like that too.
You're going away from Aaron House this week. You don't fancy him to follow up.
I feel it's taken a bit, probably took a bit out of him, probably took the wind out of his sails a little bit, because and as well, like he's a bomber who doesn't really set up too well for Valderrama. Like, I'll back him plenty more this season because he's a top golfer, but I don't think he fits too well.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I just have one pick for this week that I'll run through quickly. More of a long shot, more of just a little interest bet. At 175-1, I'm going to take a small each way play on someone you mentioned in your intro, Donny, and Søren Kjeldsen. So this guy has an unbelievable record around Valderrama. So he's in the last 11 years, he's played here every year, hasn't missed a cut once. And I'll just read out his last 11 starts, starting from the furthest back. So he's come 22nd, 18th, 2nd, 1st, 2nd, 49th, 4th, 18th, 29th, 39th, and 41st. So he might be a little bit on the decline if you're reading literally into those numbers. He does have a 7th place finish not so long ago at the Czech Masters. So he showed that he can still mix it with the big boys. He's not a big hitter at all. He's a small stature guy. He hits a lot of fairways. So I'm just going to just take a little bit of a chance on him that he can maybe get his himself up there in the each way market at 175-1. So he's my only bet in Europe this week.
I'll give you another reason to back Søren Kjeldsen. Is Søren Kjeldsen loves a challenge. He loves a tough golf course because he won the Irish Open at Royal County Down. Yep. And we were there that week. And it was when Rory and Ricky Fowler played the Thursday together. Rory shot 80, Ricky Fowler shot 81, the state of them. Missed a couple of a fucking mile, went on the piss, which fair play to them. Yeah. But Søren Kjeldsen won that week, and I'm going to guess that he won a 2-under. It was in and around that number. So he loves a good bite down on the green field kind of golf course.
Yeah, he's maybe one to look at top 20. If you don't fancy him outright, top 20 market, you'll get a nice price on him. So the last 11 years, he would have hit that 6 of the 11 times, and he came 22nd the other time. So just would have missed out, but would have given you a good run for your money. So yeah, just a pure interest bet. Søren Kjeldsen, 175s.
Nice.
So then I have one pick as well for this, even though I do want to have an honorable mention. Just because A, I think he's an absolute legend. And B, I see a lot of people are tipping him up this week. Just scrolling through our Twitter feed and Instagram and stuff. A lot of people seem to be tipping him up. Now, I'm not betting on him this week. I probably should. But Andrew Beef Johnston seems to be being, you know, tipped up by a lot of big names this week.
Past winner.
Yeah. So
2016, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was back when he was playing golf, and then he took that kind of break for a while, didn't he? And then he's now back playing now. So just want to have that honorable mention. But my pick this week, you actually mentioned him earlier, Donny, was Dickie Bland. You know, I think he's been playing actually quite well the last few weeks. He was T4 in Alfred Dunhill. He was T9 last week. So At 40-1, I think he's decent odds now. To be honest, do I think he's going to win? Probably not. So if anything, I'd probably say that should be two plays, but I'll back him anyway. So
love the confidence, bro.
I know.
Is he going to win? No, but I'm going to back him anyway.
I do think he's going to get top eight. Like he just doesn't have enough wins under his belt for me to be confident in a winning. Like, so.
Well, just to summarize, Brew is putting €1 each way on Richard Bland to be top 50.
And, yeah, basically.
To make the cut at 1-4.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. What did you get him at, Brew? What odds is he?
40-1.
Okay. It's not bad. Might have a nibble on that myself just because of your big sales pitch.
That's it. Thanks. Yeah. You know. Send any of the winnings my way, lads. You know, give me another 5% cut, like, you know. Nice one.
Yeah. So we might as well shoot across the Atlantic to the CJ Cup, which is taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada. Donnie, as you mentioned, it's less than 10 miles from where they played this week at TPC Summerlin. So just to do a shameless plug, I do have a full preview written up on our website, fairwayfinderspod.com, and you can find a link to it on our Twitter page as well, just going into a little bit more detail about the course and some of the previous winners. So our, in terms of the betting this week, we have Dustin Johnson as favorite, followed closely by Xander, JT, Colin Morikawa, all under 16-1. Then you have Rory at 18s on the website that I'm looking at here, but bigger prices are available, as well as Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, and Sungjae Im defending his crown from last week. So it's really, really good feel that we have, but definitely the best one of the year so far. The course is a Tom Fazio design. It's 7,431 yards. It's a par 72. So Tom Fazio designed the course that we played at last year, which is Shadow Creek, and it shapes up pretty similarly to what Shadow Creek offered, both in the style and also in the way that there was 10 par fours, 4 par fives, and 4 par threes as well. And there's a lot of correlating form on Tom Fazio courses. So you do see it quite often that players that play well on one golf course designer's course tend to play well on multiple of them. So it's definitely something to look out for in terms of stats on Tom Fazio courses. In terms of the one big point for me is the weather, and particularly for anyone that's having a first round leader bet, is that there's going to be, in the forecast that I checked yesterday and again today, there's going to be quite a lot of wind on Thursday afternoon. So if you're having a first round leader bet, try and get somebody that's playing early, going out maybe in the first 6-7 groups, can put a number up and can get in with the first round lead. I would be very hesitant to back anybody for first round lead who's going out late or even mid-afternoon. So yeah, that's the course, that's the field. So I'll throw it over to you boys. Donnie, I know you are ultra confident that you might have a winner for us this week.
Do you know what? There's just like, so first of all, if you haven't checked out this golf course, Google the Summit Club because it looks spectacular. It's like a proper set in the middle of the desert, like a very kind of a very fake and surreal looking landscape, because that grass shouldn't be that green and it shouldn't be there, but here we are. It sort of reminds me a lot of the Emirates Club in Dubai. It looks class.
Yeah,
I did also hear that 7,400 yards is fairly sizable, but there's a lot of elevation changes, and then the ball's going to travel in the heat as well. So yeah, it's kind of like, don't be worried if a guy you're picking doesn't send it a mile. But yeah, so I've got four picks and I'll rattle through them really, really quickly. So because it's a new golf course, essentially, like, we don't have any historical data to look back on. We can definitely correlate guys who perform well in Tom Fazio designs. That's relevant. But there's two guys in the field who are fucking members of the Summit Club. And that's literally, this is not insider information. Everybody's been talking about it this week. And Colin Morikawa has shot 62 around here as a member. He's 16-1. So obviously we have to back him this week. Like, surely you have to. Morikawa sort of had a bit of a back injury after his Open Championship win, and he went a little bit off the boil. Wasn't great during the FedEx. citing the back injury, looked in great nick at the Ryder Cup. Him and DJ were just ridiculous in the foursomes. And now he's rested up a little bit more, so I expect Colin Morikawa to be back to his absolute best this week. And 16-1, I'm not going to bother placing him each way. I just think his knowledge of the greens is going to come into play a lot more than some of the other guys. So half a hot putter and he contends. So Morikawa is 16-1. And then the other guy who's a member is Maverick McNealy, who at 66-1 is too big a price, and I cannot get away from that price. So he was runner-up in the Fortinet a couple of weeks ago. It's very early in the season, but he's playing well. So he's seventh strokes gained tee to green. I mean, that's only three tournaments, so, you know, whatever. But the fact this is a home game for him, like, he lives in Las Vegas, he's a member here. He's just coming off a runner-up. He's been a tour member since 2020. This could be a breakthrough week for him, a bit like it was for Jason Cochrane last year. 66-1. I'd be having Maverick McNealy at 35s. I'd probably be having him at 30s, even though it's a strong field. So there are my two really confident picks, and then a little bit less so, but how could you not be confident about Sam Burns at the minute? He is beating the shit out of easy golf courses. And granted, if the wind gets up, maybe you're not looking at a high teens, early 20s kind of winning score this week. But all signs point to the fact that that will be the case if the conditions allow it. His strokes gained that when he won the Sandersons was a fucking joke. He was plus 3.7 and the next best was plus 2.2. So he putted terribly and won on the PGA Tour, which is just nuts. This guy's a real problem. 25-1 he is this week. He's a two-time PGA Tour winner now. We had him. We had him at, I think, 80-1 when he won his first one. And there's no way he ends the season with only two PGA Tour wins. So Sam Burns, 25-1, definitely taking him on. And then my last pick is Aaron Wise, who's 50-1. So he was tied eighth last week, shot 62 on the Friday, 66 on the Sunday. The Saturday kind of put the brakes on him a bit. But he's a really good all-around player. Won the Korn Ferry Tour a few years ago. But he's top 44 or better in all the strokes gained categories last season. The only exception for that is the putting. So we know we're going to have massive differential. That's where you get big price winners, is guys who are usually shit at putting, who turn it on for a week and can tend to go really well. So based on his differential, really like 50-1. So there are my four. Morikawa wins this week. and then between the other three, Sam Burns, Aaron Wise, and Maverick McNealy, I'm expecting at least one month's place.
So you're going for Aaron Rye in Europe and Aaron Wise in the US. I sense a nice little each-way double coming up, Donny. I'll get on that myself. A little Europe,
yeah.
Not an each-way, whatever.
I will. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Yeah. But in reality, I'd be all over a Morikawa double with probably Aaron Rye, maybe.
Well, that's
just back Morikawa. He wins this week. There, no, clip it.
That's a losing bet this week. So if you do that double, you will lose your double. So don't do that, because the winner this week is going to be my one and done pick. I put it on Twitter, put my cards down on the line. I'm going for Rory McIlroy. I got him 25-1 win only bet with
a huge price.
I think it's a massive price. So Rory McIlroy, in terms of strokes gained on Tom Fazio designed courses, is second over the last 2 years. And he's only second to Dustin Johnson, who we all know is going to be distracted down in this week. So Rory is historically the best player on these type of courses. The whole Ryder Cup fiasco, how terrible he was for the first couple of days, to show the character to bounce back and probably beat, I would say, one of the best players in the world right now in Xander Schauffele, to beat him 3-2 with all that pressure on you of being given the responsibility of coming out number one. I just think Rory's going to be a man on a mission this week. He's going to try and ride that confidence that he would have picked up on the Sunday, and the emotional interview after as well, which almost set me off as well, I have to be honest, watching that. So I think Rory's going to have a big week. I think the course is going to set up perfectly for him. He hits the ball a mile, and even a mile and a half in the desert with the extra distance. He plays well in desert golf over in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. So, I just I can't get over Rory this week. I'm all in on him. And yeah, there we go. Rory 25-1 straight win.
Do you know you're the only one I've seen who's all aboard McIlroy this week. And even if he pulls off a top five, you'll be an outlier, because loads of people are back in Morikawa this week. Loads of people are back in Sam Burns. Loads of people are back in Maverick McNeely. So if you go against the grain and pull one out of the bag, you deserve all the credit. Because personally, yeah, I couldn't possibly go near Rory this week.
Really?
I
don't see how you don't back him.
At the Ryder Cup was so soul destroying. And I don't think this is going to be, he's not waking up in the morning and going, well, I could be CJ Cup champion, which has existed for 4 years.
It's more the principle of it. And he's back. His last win was at Quail Hollow back earlier on in the year, which is a Tom Fazio designed course. So I just think this is his week. I think he's going to make a big statement. I just think it's Rory all the way.
Get on really away. As well. Yeah, we'll see. I really like, geez, I'd love to see him win. So we're massive McIlroy fans on the pod. Like, of course we are.
Yeah.
Apart from Brew, who's looking salty over there.
I've just been biting my tongue. I wouldn't absolutely touch McIlroy with a 50-foot pole at the moment, lads. Like, Joe, I will say 25-1 is a great price, though. I will definitely say he was definitely worth a punt at 25-1.
Like, if he was 14-1 or 16-1,
he's floating around 18s now. And don't get me wrong, on his day, we're probably one of the best golfers ever, possibly in that argument anyway. But with the likes of like Sam Burns and stuff, the way that they're playing at the moment, Rory would have to full on show up. And we haven't seen that from him for quite a long time. Like, yes, he showed up on the Sunday of the Ryder Cup, but it was fucking too little too late.
The last time really was when you said he wouldn't win, remember?
That's fair, yeah. And to be fair though, I picked him about 6 weeks in a row, for not to win. But yeah, no, the last time I said he would not win, he did win, and he could easily win because he's a serious golfer at the end of the day, and he's an Irish golfer, and I do like him. I do. I hate golfers who waste talent, and he has to be up there with one of the biggest wasters in my opinion, in terms of like, he is gold status in terms of talent, and he really hasn't come anywhere near that.
I don't think that's necessarily true. So we could talk for an hour about McIlroy, so like we won't. But the one thing I'd say about McIlroy is they were looking for the next
Tiger.
Great hope after Tiger, and they saw, and he was the obvious candidate because he was prodigious and there was all these things going for him, and he was so articulate and well spoken and impressive and all sorts of stuff. And I'm looking back on it now and thinking about McIlroy, like at the very peak of his powers, right? So the most impressive McIlroy performance ever has to be Kew Island, when he wins by, Steve, help me out, eight,
I think. Yeah,
yeah.
The Masters, the Masters until
before the blow up as well.
Yeah, but before the blow up, he was absolutely dominating, lad.
I think we just come off seeing something that certainly we've never seen as golfers before, as golf fans. Obviously, Nicholas had his heyday in 18 majors, yeah, grand. But we've just gone from this era of Tiger, and we were expecting to find the next Tiger, and it's just, there's no Tiger. There can never be another Tiger. There will never be another Tiger.
Tiger's son, maybe.
Maybe Charlie, yeah.
Charlie would.
He's a friend of mine. Put in a group the other day that he's you can get him at 825-1 to win the Masters before he's 25. If you
that's
fancy
a fucking bet, that's a bet if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. But anyway,
Steve, look again. As I was saying, it's a great, great, great value bet, Steve. And you know, we all hope Rory does well, but I wouldn't be touching him. You know, my three picks, I just think they're just three people. There are two people that are in serious form, and there's one player that I never back ever, and he always seems to do well. So I'm backing him this week. So obviously the first pick, as Donica said, Sam Burns doesn't even need an explanation. He's been probably the best golfer in the last 3-4 weeks in the world, in my opinion. At least he's definitely up there. And he's 28-1. I think again, good value, the fact that DJ kind of bumps up a lot of people to him being a bit short for this. The next golfer is Scottie Scheffler. Again, just on the back of his Ryder Cup performance, I think if he's going to do anything like win and do something, it needs to be soon. Like, he needs to build on that kind of wave that he created in the Ryder Cup. And then my last bet, who's a person who always does well, and I always doubt him, and he always fucking shows up, is Louis Oosthuizen. I was a big fan of Oosthuizen. I backed him in the Masters the year him and Bubba went into a playoff. And I was so sickened that he lost the playoff. I just haven't ever backed him really properly since. And even in the majors and everything, man, everyone always writes him off. And you know, he always shows up. Now he does somewhat bottle it a bit. Yeah, but...
he's the world's best golfer from Thursday to Saturday.
Yeah, right. Like, so, but yeah, I am. Let me just get this for a second.
It was a decent price.
He's at 25-1. So,
yeah, decent price.
I mean, you know, I just think, again, the likes of the Morikawas, the DJs, they're really dragging down the price and giving people decent value out there. So, you know, with Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns both at 28-1 and Louis Oosthuizen at 25-1. I would genuinely be very surprised if one of those three at least don't compete come Sunday.
Yep, nice. I think Scheffler is going to win pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so too. If it's not this tournament, I think it has to be soon, personally. But
I could see if the next six PGA Tour events that Scottie Scheffler plays, I would be surprised if he doesn't pick up a trophy.
Yeah.
No, I think it's only a matter of time. I would like a bit of a bigger price for him, I would think, to get his maiden PGA Tour win. I'd probably try and back him in that 33s to 40s window whenever that comes available. Maybe as an off couple of weeks. But yeah, I think he's a good shout. He's tracking in the right direction.
Yeah. Yep. And that's definitely fair. And then Steve, you said you have someone else. You said you'd someone backed in the challenge as well, didn't you?
Oh, I do. The challenge tour stays in Spain this week. So it was the European tour last week in Spain. Now the challenge tour is also in Spain at Emporta Golf Club in Girona in Spain. So I'm going to take another straight win bet. And I'm going to go with our very own John Murphy from County Cork.
Yeah,
Cork's finest. He's Cork's finest. Yeah, John, after yourself, obviously, Bruce. Do you know what I mean?
Cork's obviously, after Jimmy first, then me, then John.
He'd be third. So, the only bookie that's offering these odds are Skybet. So if you do have a Skybet account, I would definitely urge you to get some money on him. So he's 40-1 with Skybet to win it. So John Murphy's had a unbelievable last couple of weeks, going close at the, well, not close, but being in the final group at St. Andrews for the Alfred Dunhill. And then he followed that up with a pretty solid top 25 at the Spanish Open last week. So he's been playing at a much higher level than this. He's dropping down to challenge tour. I just think 40-1 is absolutely outrageous odds for a guy who's just ultra confident right now. When he's on the first tee, he's going to fancy himself to say, I don't think any of you guys could have been in the final group at the Alfred Dunhill a couple of weeks ago. So I'm all aboard John Murphy this week. I'm going to go straight win. And as I said, 40-1 with Skybet.
Nice.
Yeah, no, like absolutely. Obviously, we take huge amount of pride and a huge amount of interest in every and any Irish golfer that has come up through the ranks in any tour. And I managed to watch a good bit of him, and he got a good bit of coverage at the Dunhill Links, and he just looked so at home. He looked totally composed. Now, he hit one pull hook off, I think maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah, 9.
I mean, he was trying to sling one in there. It was the right shot shape, and he overcooked it, and it went in a ditch and went in a gorse bush. But aside from that, he looked totally in control of the swing, totally in control of the golf ball. He's just one of them where he's actually hit the exact shot he's trying to. He's just overcooked it by 10 yards. But he performed really well in Spain there last week as well. And it's great to see. There's himself, there's also Mark Power, his Walker Cup teammate from Kilkenny, I believe. It's just great to see the next generation coming through. It's all good. Yeah. Can we just end on one fact that seeing as this is like unofficially a Seamus Power like fan club podcast, Seamus Power reached a milestone this week. Does anyone know what it is?
I saw it, Danny. I was buzzing.
So Seamus Power has become the 16th golfer from the Island of Ireland to reach the world ranking top 100. So he's ranked 100 after the Shriners. Now, I actually have the list in front of me here if you're interested. Really quickly, right, so 16 golfers. You'll get most of them, but then there's a few that will kind of send you for a loop. McIlroy, best world ranking first. Harrington, best world ranking third. McDowell's top golf world ranking. Anyone?
Fifth?
Yeah, fourth. Amazing.
Oh, okay.
Darren Clark, eighth. Shane Lowry got to 16th. Ronan Rafferty also got to 16th. Paul McGinley got to 18th. David Faherty got to 33rd. Des Smith got to 47th, and I thought he would have been higher. And similarly, Christy O'Connor Jr. got to 55th, and I would have thought he would have got higher. You got Eamon Darcy, who got to 56th. You got Paul Dunne, who got to 65th not that long ago when he had the 54-hole lead at the Open. Michael Hoey, 74th. Phil Walton, 78th. Gareth Maben, 84th. And now Seamus Power in the top 100 for the first time, which is brilliant. And if I were to put a bet on, and I will because this is a fucking golf betting podcast, he will go higher than that.
Yeah, I'd give him top 50. I think you could break into it with a couple more wins on the tour.
He seems to play easier tracks very, very well. I don't know if his game is suited to major championship golf, but certainly, like, was it the Barracuda that he won when we had him backed? He seems to like not to call him a flat track bully, but he he's not afraid to go low. He can make a lot of
money. I think that's pretty fair. I'd like to see him come over to Europe once or twice.
It'd be nice.
Irish Open or something along those lines. But
surely he's going to come over and play an Irish Open next year. I know he's lived in Oklahoma for a long time, but I mean he's a Waterford man, isn't he?
He is, Asia. He'll be up in Canada next year for the Canadian Open. I'm pretty sure he was there last time.
Yeah, you'll have to go check him out.
Yeah, I will. Once we get the old social media credentials there, we'll go up and see him.
Perfect. That's only a matter of time.
And then
that's us, is it?
Just one last thing I wanted to point out. I know this is a very random note to end the podcast on, but I just saw it earlier. I thought it was pretty funny. So for everyone who follows basketball, one of the more famous point guards, J.R. Smith, has gone back to college, and he's always said that he always wished that he had turned like a pro golfer instead of basketball. Obviously, he had a good successful career in basketball, so fair enough. But he's gone back to college, which now qualifies him to play in the college tour. So his first tournament there was over the weekend. And he had a 12 over 83 for his first round, and he had a 7 over 78 for his second round. So he said he has to go back and put in some work.
No shit, JR. Yeah. Maybe you gotta go back to basketball.
That's amazing, though. Did you see him? There's a great picture of him like standing on the first tee with a bunch of college students. And JR Smith probably in his mid 30s, is he? I guess. Yep. And there's someone put the caption up like for the young lads called J.R. Smith, hey, can you buy us beer after this?
He also rolled up in a Bentley as well, which I thought was
pretty cool. Well, to that point, right, Kyle Porter was tweeting the other day about like career earnings. So Tiger, Phil, J.R. Smith, DJ Furyk, VJ Rory, right, were the tweets. And what do you reckon the gap is from Rory McIlroy's career earnings for golf to J.R. Smith's career earnings from basketball?
Oh, Jesus. Like, to be fair, he won two rings. And
so, you'd never guess it. $30 million. J.R. Smith has Rory McIlroy covered by $30 million. So he's got his career earnings on a basketball court are $88 million. Rory's on $58 million on a golf course.
So that, sorry, just to clarify, that doesn't take into consideration like Rory's like sponsorship by Nike.
No. Purely okay. As in
purely winning. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
JR salary versus Rory's winnings.
I tell you what, Donny, the winner this week gets about $2 million, so we'll call it 28 after Rory wins.
Well, hang on. Is J.R. Smith's getting his lunch paid for at the college tournament? So you got to factor that in too. So expensive. $2 million minus about $20 for a nice lunch.
At least. Where are you going for lunch?
Somewhere cheap.
And as you look, hopefully, lads, we get an old winner now on the pod this week. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling confident that like one of us has it. And obviously, John Murphy in the Challenge Tour. I think that's a great shout as well.
Yeah, best of luck to John. And yeah, it's a good week. It's a good week to watch golf, actually. It's going to be one of the better weeks between now and the Masters. So everybody enjoy. Please do give us a follow. If you enjoy the podcast, we're always chatting shit on Twitter. So we're Finders Fairway on Twitter. We're Fairway Finders Pod on Instagram. And yeah, get in touch. Let's have a bit of crack. Hopefully pick some winners and enjoy ourselves.
All right.
Pleasure, boys.
Sound boys. Talk to you soon.
Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
Jordan,
he's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open Champion.